It's an honor to be with you this morning. I have to say before we get started, don't you have some of the greatest pastors in the world, Pastor Eric and Miss Mandy? Can you put your hands together? Let them know how much you appreciate them. I consider Pastor Eric one of the greatest voices in my world, that week after week, there are times that when we get on the phone, I don't want to hang up. He's just sharing such rich stuff, and I've learned so much from him and Miss Mandy, and we loved when they came to Columbus, Mississippi, and we almost didn't let them come back. We took a vote, and anyway, we didn't want them to leave, but we're glad that what God is doing in Kentucky is blessed of God, and it is an honor to be connected to such a great ministry. And it's an honor to be here. So today I want to preach to you about a really simple concept for all of us today. I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. Let's start there. And I'm going to read to you a text. And I want to give you my title in just a moment. But to begin together, I want to read an extremely familiar verse. If you've been raised in church for any amount of time, this verse has come across a series, a Bible school lesson, a Sunday school class, a preacher, a teacher. You've heard this passage, but I want to read it today, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will use something you've heard many times and will enlighten you in a new way. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Translation, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know with great confidence, that God, everybody say that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for the good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. Today I want to preach to you a message called Behind the Scenes. Everybody say Behind the Scenes. Now, I'm like many of you, I'm sure you schedule your life. You may have a calendar. My assistant and I, we use a Google calendar where we can see and share events, and my wife, and we're constantly scheduling out even up to a year out in advance. And I'm sure just like many of you, you have a calendar that you have penciled in things. We make our plans and we have our agendas. We have our expectations. So we write in things like, you know, first day of school. We write in things like Molly's wedding, Saturday at 3 o'clock. We write in things like trash day, or that we're going to be graduating from a certain course, or that we got to get up early to get to the airport. We write down things. We have our plans. We have our agenda. But how many of you know this morning that life doesn't always go according to plan? Can I get a big Mississippi amen right there? That life has a way of taking us in directions that we did not initially plan on taking. So you and I may think it's simple just to write in real easy what we think we're going to do. We can write down that we're going to be, you know, we're going to go enroll into this college, and then we're going to graduate in 2 years or 4 years, and then we're going to find a perfect man with perfect teeth and a perfect physique who makes six figures a year, loves your parents, loves kids, loves animals. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have written this stuff in. And then over time, how many of you know, life doesn't always go according to plan. So you thought it was going to be like that, but then you just fast forward a few years and you can't get him off the couch. He's not interested in your animals. He hasn't fed the pig in weeks. He doesn't want to go to your mama's house for Thanksgiving. Am I talking to anybody on a Sunday morning? That life doesn't always go according to plan. We write in our agendas and our thoughts, And I know we're laughing, but there are some situations that if we were to go around the room today or to discuss with people who are joining us online and talk to each other, and we were to discuss that you had some expectations, and now this ain't what you thought it was going to be. You didn't think that you'd be 40 and divorced. No, nobody writes in the agenda of their life to be abused by a spouse, because life doesn't go according to plan. Nobody writes in their agenda the loss of a child, because life doesn't always go according to plan. Nobody wrote that their business was going to be shut down during COVID and they were going to lose everything, because life doesn't always go according to plan. We write down things. We didn't expect to be addicted. We didn't expect to have this many regrets. We didn't expect to live in such turmoil. We didn't expect to have such marital issues. We didn't expect to go this way. We had our plans. We had our thoughts. We had our dreams. We had our expectations. But life, am I talking to anybody, doesn't always go according to plan. Now, when I think of a life that doesn't always go according to plan, I think of a young man in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, by the name of Joseph. Many of us have heard his story. He's the great-grandson of Abraham. He's the 11th son of Jacob. And the Bible lets us know he's 17 years old, and God gives him a dream. He's just a young guy, and God speaks to him and gives him an image, a picture of his significant future, that God was going to use him significantly in the kingdom of God. He was going to do something powerful. And so now 17-year-old Joseph now has in his agenda that he was going to be used mightily, that his brothers were going to bow before him, and that now he has a dream. Let me say this today. Thank God for dreams. Thank God that he spoke to a man named Eric Gilbert that saw something in South Central Kentucky that maybe other people didn't see, but deep in his heart, he had a vision, a dream, an image that he believed that you could be in the right place at the right time. Am I talking to anybody? Nothing more disruptive to the status norm than a dream. And the world is the way it is. And the advancements that we have in society are because of the dreams that we've had and the actions that we've taken. You got to think of things like automobiles and our phones and civil rights, and all of these things have come as a result of somebody having a dream. Young Joseph has this dream, and it's a big deal. God shows him that his 11 brothers are going to bow before him. And then Joseph tells his brothers, which I got a brother, I couldn't imagine telling him that dream right there. He has this dream, and you know, when here's the difficult thing about when God gives us an impression about what we feel in our hearts for our lives or for our families or for our kids or for our business, and this appetite for greatness that maybe God has placed in your heart to see great things or a revival or a move of God in your home. Whatever it is, you feel that impression. And so because it's from God, we believe that it should be up and to the right. We should just get there. It should be like a ladder. We should just climb straight up to it. This should be not complicated. Because if God gave the dream, he has his purpose in his life. Joseph should move perfectly forward with no problems or no setbacks. But how many of you know the story of Joseph isn't like that? God has given him a dream, but his story doesn't look like the dream that he has. And so we find in the story of Joseph some interesting things that happen. The first thing that happens in his story is that he tells his brothers the dream. And when he has the dream, he is then persecuted, made fun of by his brothers. Let me pause here and let me tell you something. You got to be careful who you tell your dream to, because not everybody can handle who God has called you to be. Because a lot of people want you to live in the same neighborhood you've always lived in, make the same amount of money you've always made, come the same lifestyle you've always lived. But if God's calling you higher, sometimes you gotta be careful who you tell your dreams to, because not everybody has your best interest in mind. People wanna keep you where they find you. That's what I found out. And if you're willing to follow God's plan for your life, you're gonna have some persecution along the way. Can I get a big Mississippi amen? Now, Not only does he tell his brothers about the dream, the brothers, the scripture lets us know that they become jealous of little old Joseph. He's 17 years old. He don't know no better. He's just talking. And the brothers ended up taking him, the scripture says, and throwing him into a pit. You know the story as well as I, if you've been raised in church. The brothers wanted to kill him. They decided, let's just throw this guy into a pit. We're done with him. We're sick. They used to say this, here comes the dreamer. They were discrediting what God was doing within him. And so now this young boy with this amazing dream that God has given him to live a significant life, to be used by God to do great things, has been persecuted and has now been thrown in a pit, not by strangers, but by his kin, his own blood, his brothers. And then the Bible lets us know that this is where the story gets really crazy. Not only has he been persecuted and not only has he gone through a pit, but the Bible lets us know another thing. That all of a sudden this man of great authority in the region comes by and they sell Joseph into slavery to a man named Potiphar. Everybody say Potiphar. Now this story gets steamy right here. Potiphar has a wife who has eyes for Joseph. And the Bible says that Joseph was a young man, well built, ladies. Just kidding. Joseph had something about him that Potiphar's wife was attracted to. And so the story lets us know that Joseph has a dream. He's persecuted by his brothers. He then goes into a pit, like a well, that his brothers throw him into. He's then sold into slavery to Potiphar. Potiphar goes to the office one day, and Potiphar's wife makes a move on Joseph. He's 17 years old. The Bible lets us know that Joseph had such character that with the pressure coming from Potiphar's wife, with the temptation, the Bible says he runs away. You would think that that's the end of the story, that, okay, now the dream is fulfilled, but no, it's not over yet. In fact, it gets even stranger that Potiphar's wife, when he runs away, she rips a shirt off of him and begins to scream and makes a false allegation that he had sexually harassed her. Now, we got a problem. Young dreamer, called by God, has a significant purpose in his life. He's 17 years old, and to have gone through persecution and abandonment from his family, to be thrown into a pit, to then be sold into slavery, then to have false allegations against him. Potiphar comes home, finds out what happens, and the scripture lets us know that they then throw him into prison. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see the progression of the story of Joseph, I cannot help but be greatly perplexed, like many of you, that God, if you gave him a dream and you've marked him at such a young age, why does it look like he's moving further away from what you've called him to? Have you ever lived through what doesn't look like the dream? Have you ever looked at your own progression and believed that God was going to keep that child in church and you held on to the verse that says if you raise them up in the house of God, if you raise them up in the way that they should go, when they are older, they will not depart from it. But now they're 23 and you're watching step one, step two, step three, and you're wondering, God, where are you? Am I talking to anybody in Mississippi? Where am I at? Kentucky this morning? If anybody's from Mississippi this morning, say amen. There's one guy here, and he didn't say amen. The progression. You have dreamed and had a vision in your heart that the marriage would be healthy, and you've gone to marriage conferences, and you've done what you know to do, and you've tried, but now 10, 15, 20 years, what you thought it was going to be ain't at all what it turned out to be. That your life looks less like a dream and more like a nightmare. Am I talking to anybody? You've dreamed that the business would be in the black, but it's just in the red. You dreamed, many people in the room had a calling of God to be used greatly, some even in the ministry. Maybe platform ministry, maybe worship leading. It could even be kids ministry, student ministry, whatever it is. And sometimes along the way, we've had so many missteps and so many things that seem to pull us away from what God has for us that it's really easy in this position to throw your hands up and say, not at this point. Like, God can do a lot of things, but there's just no way at this point, after I've been abandoned, after I've been talked about, after I've had false allegations, now I'm looking through prison bars. What can God do with my life now? Come on, Joseph, I know you're in here. And you have wondered, what could God do? What happened to the dream? And here's what I find interesting. This is a 13-year progression. 17 years old. All the way through, 17 years right here. When he receives the dream, he's 17. And now 13 years, all of his 20s, he's been dealing with this turmoil, this turbulence, and this back and forth and confusion. And if you're like me, this is the kind of stuff you call your small group leader about. And you say, can you pray with me? Or you call your pastor, your campus pastor, you call somebody and you say, hey, listen, we need to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. He's trying to set me back. He's trying to mess my life up. Satan, I rebuke every spirit but the Holy Spirit. Get thee behind me. Get under my foot. Am I talking to anybody? But hear me. We often try to rebuke them. We often try, times we'll pray against them. We want to run away from them. But my question for you today, what if God uses them? Maybe God didn't cause them, but maybe God can use them. That what seemed like backward steps to Joseph, as the dream started here, and he begins to progressively move away from what he thought God had for him, could it be that he was actually moving closer to the purpose, even though it felt like it was backwards? Could it be that God had a plan all along? Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man and a woman and a mother and a father and a business owner and a teenager. Many plans are in our mind, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So I know you didn't have this in mind. I know you didn't expect this. I know this was not in your agenda. I know you didn't pencil this in to go through what you've gone through, to experience the setbacks you've experienced. But what if what you're struggling with, God uses them? When you think of the story of Joseph, the story gets crazy. He goes through persecution. He goes to the pit. He goes to Potiphar. He ends up in prison. Here's what happens next. If you know the story, he's in prison. There's a cupbearer there. And God uses him to interpret the dream of the cupbearer. The cupbearer gets out of prison before him, gets back to the man in leadership, and tells him about Joseph. And literally just a short amount of time, God then communicates and connects. The king communicates and connects with Joseph, and Joseph's whole story turns around in a chapter. In just a few verses, he's now set over as number two in the whole region. In the whole region. That God has done something on the fourth step. And Joseph never thought he'd ever have to go through the first, second, third, or fourth step. It was not what he planned. God uses him, makes him the distributor of the food of the nation. His brothers show up to get food during a famine, and the dream that he had is fulfilled at that moment. And he looks at them and says in Genesis 50, verse 20, the brothers identify him, and look what he says. He says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." So Joseph, let me close this thing up in a minute. But Joseph, you saw this. You saw the pain and the persecution and the pit and the Potiphar's wife and the you saw all of that. But what he is saying in chapter 50, by the way, he never said it anywhere else when he was in it. But on the back end, he says, God used what I've been through to fulfill the thing that he put inside of me. So hear me, you see persecution, but the Bible lets us know that he turns all things for our good. And could it be that the persecution you have faced has been developing the patience in you that you wouldn't have had if you didn't have it? Could it be that the pit you are facing, that you've been thrown into, the discouragement and the abandonment of your past and your childhood is producing perseverance? Because years ago you would have quit, but now something on the inside of you has a bulldog tenacity that says, you know what, I've been through hell before, ain't nothing going to shake me off this thing now. Can I get a big amen, somebody? You go through Potiphar and you got to work through this situation and abandonment, and now you're being falsely accused. What do you do, Joseph? And Joseph is saying, you meant it for evil, but God used that situation to teach me to be a man of principle and character and to live a life that is from a place of principle, not pressure. Because what if we want to get to the dream? We want to get to the purpose. God wants to get to the person. What if God wants to, you want to get to the fulfillment. God wants to get you to the place where he is developing you. Because what if he gave you the dream and he never developed you before you got there? Could you even sustain it when you had it? Go through the prison. And something about the prison and being bound and locked up and feeling forgotten. Maybe God was teaching you to pray in that season, teaching you to praise in that season. Because if you and I were honest today, if you and I were honest, there is nothing like pressure that keeps us in prayer. There's nothing like the difficulty that teaches us to come to God. There is nothing like when we are dealing with hard things in life to come to the presence of God and to surrender our lives once and for all, if not every single day. Has pressure ever made you pray? And Joseph, you find yourself looking at something differently than maybe God is seeing them. I need to talk to Joseph in our final moments together. I need to let you know, Joseph, that what you and I see, it's just not what God sees. That what you and I are fixated on, what you and I cannot take our eyes off of, what you and I cry about, maybe heaven is rejoicing because he sees a maturing in you and he sees a development in you and he sees something coming out of you. I was yesterday morning, I got up and my wife bought a new coffee creamer, and at the top of the coffee creamer, it said, "Shake well for better taste." I was like, that's coming to Kentucky in the name of Jesus. Because hear me right now. Maybe the reason that you've been shaken up in life is because possibly God is putting some taste in you, some flavor in you, some faith in you, some worship in you, some praise in you that's going to change your life. Why? Because God is working behind the scenes. We want to just taste good. God wants to give us a good shake. If I was in Mississippi, I'd tell you to look at your neighbor and shake their brains out and tell them God's going to give you a good shake. Let me show you this. It's amazing, really, that I've read the story before, but I never caught this, and I want you to hear this part. I never caught what I'm going to show you. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 7. It says, the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was. Genesis 39, verse 2, and the band can come. The Lord was with. And he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. Genesis 39, 3, his master saw that the Lord was with. That the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Genesis 39, 21, but the Lord was with and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison paid no attention, Genesis 39, 23, to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Now, I want you to listen to me. I cannot explain these situations. Bible says rain falls on the just and the unjust. I can't explain tribulation. I can't explain things that happen. But just like a surfer doesn't create the wave, the surfer can use that wave. And I'm of the belief that maybe God didn't make this happen in your life, but God can use what has happened in your life. And in Joseph's story, the scripture lets us know that God was with him. Here's what I want you to catch. Sometimes God protects us from the setbacks. Other times he's with us in the setbacks. And I was thinking about this, that when you look at persecution, when you look at these things right here, I just want to show you one more time. When you really look at and see what you're living through. Come on, we're going to pray in just a minute. But somebody needs to be reminded right now that God is with you. Joseph, let me tell you like this. I find it like it's hard to sense God is with you. Let me word it like this. I'm getting my words together. I find it easier to sense that God was with you in retrospect than in real time. It's hard to perceive God is with me when I'm in the pit. But when I'm out of the pit, I can look back and say, God was with me. That makes no sense. How did I make it through that divorce? God had to be with me. How did I raise those kids on my own? God had to be with me. How did I keep my heart together after all the pain and the heartache that I experienced in that church? And I still love God and still go and still care and still tithe. Why? Because God was with me. You get to the point, once you get the revelation that these situations that have been so difficult to manage, that you come to the understanding that I didn't put that in my calendar that day, but God was with me on that day. God was strengthening me on that day. God was maturing me on that. It may not have been a day that I was rejoicing. It may not have been a day that I was happy. It may have been a day full of tears, but I can look back and say, you know what? The day we threw the dirt on my daughter's coffin, he was right there. The day that I wondered if I'd ever have peace again, he was right there. The day if you've ever wondered if God was with you, I'm telling you, he's right there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And hear me, you'll be able to look back and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. It may not feel good, but I know something in my spirit that it may not feel right, but God is always with me, doing something inside of me that you can't see because he makes all things. I was looking at a picture of my son the other day. I was amazed. You know, he's, I don't know how old he is. He's 5 or 6. I can't remember. But I just went to his first day of school. You know, they start school really early in Mississippi. So he started school, you know, like July. I was looking at his picture, and I was scrolling through my phone, and I was looking at older pictures of him of just a year ago. I thought, man, this kid looks so different. Any parents know what I'm talking about? You're like, man, these kids look so different in just a year. I was looking at that kid, and I was thinking about, how do you look so different? And I didn't see that happen. You hearing this? I didn't see it happen. I'm with the kid every day. I put him to bed every night. All the food he's eating, I pay for it. All the clothes he's wearing, I pay for it. I see that kid every day. And how do I see one picture from 2022 and one picture from 2021? He looks so different. It's because I can't perceive his growth in real time. But I can see it in retrospect, his development and his maturing and his thinning out in his face and his body changing. Let me tell you something. You are only looking at the season you're in and you're wondering, am I going to live through it? Am I going to make it? And you're only seeing a snapshot from a year ago. But can you imagine what God is going to do in your life and you see yourself in 5 years? You're going to know, my God, he's done something in me. That if I, he says it like this in the Word of God. He says it like this, that if you will just hang on, Galatians 6:9. That you will reap if you faint not. Don't quit, because what if God is using something for you that you felt was actually against you? Can I pray with you today? Just with eyes closed and no one looking around, someone needs to be reminded today that we know that God makes all things work together for the good. Someone needs to be reminded today that the disruptions you've been experiencing, maybe they were divine. Maybe the setbacks you've been facing, maybe the pain of your past has been squeezing something and shaking you and making you taste different. Maybe God is using something to mature you and to develop you. Maybe God is bringing character out of you. Joseph, this is your season and you think it's over, but God said, if I put the dream in you, if I put the purpose in you, if I put the plan in you, I'm going to make it come to pass, because I'm God and you're not. And if you'll just submit to me in this season, and you just remember that I will not quit. He's got his hand on my life. He's leading me. He's guiding me. Come on, Joseph, your best days are still ahead of you. That what the enemy has meant for evil, come on, I feel like telling somebody today, God's going to turn it for the good. What the enemy thought he was going to put you out, I've come to tell you today, the devil's overplayed his hand in your life. He thought he was going to mess your marriage up. He thought he was going to mess your teenager up. But he did not put into account that you God always causes you to triumph. He did not put into account that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He didn't put into his mind that he knew that you were a child of God, and that if you could just hang on, you're going to reap if you just faint not. Joseph, don't you quit on your dream. Don't you quit on that ministry. Don't you quit on your purpose. Don't you quit on your destiny, because the best is yet to come, because we know that all things work together for the good.